All right, so we'll say good morning. So we're beginning today. Today's daf is Kuf. We are beginning Tzadik Tes Amud Beis 99b, the Mishnah. That's a very interesting sugya today. So Shema Dayanim. Shepechesu Shesos Oho Sifushos. So we'll say, so this is a case. Shema Dayanim is a case of where Beis Din is selling off property and they evaluate the property. That's a Shum. Shum is an evaluation. So let's say Beis Din, the Dayanim went ahead and evaluated the property, but they either undervalued it by a sixth or they overvalued it by a sixth. Remember, sixth is the magic number because 1/6 is the amount of ona'ah, of overcharging or undercharging that could go ahead and void a sale. What this Mishnah is really driving at over here is, do the laws of ona'ah apply to a sale conducted by Beis Din or not? So the Tanakhama says that if the Dayanim ended up underselling or overselling by a sixth, the halacha is michran batal. Michran batal, their sale is batal, right? The sale is negated ultimately because it's ona. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, michran kayim. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, not true. Actually, the sale is valid. Why? Imkein makoach Beis Din yafas. Reb Shimon Gamliel espouses a very interesting shita. And his shita is, because if you're going to go ahead and void the actions of Beis Din, then what good is Beis Din? Meaning the whole chap is that Beis Din is the final word on things. Now, I want to be clear. We'll see Reb Shimon Gamliel is not simply saying that you don't do anything about the overcharging or the undercharging. In fact, when we get into these sugyas in Bava Metzia, we will see that there are certain circumstances where a Beis Din makes a psak, and if we know that it's wrong, the psak will stand, and the judges will be personally liable. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but the point Reb Shimon Gamliel says is that the overcharging or undercharging by a sixth does not in any way negate the sale. The Gemara says, Aval im asu igeres bikores b'neim. But the Rebbe says, if they made an igeres bikores, what's igeres bikores? Literally means a letter of investigation. And Rashi points out to the Mishnah, igeres bikores hachraza. If they announced the sale of the property before the sale, then what? Afilu machra shava manav masayim, o shava masayim emana mechran kayim. In that case, even if they sold the property that was worth 100 for 200 or 200 for 100, the sale stands. And we'll say, so what's the chap of that? What the Mishnah is saying is, if they made a hachraza, which means they announced the property, then that means people have enough time to decide what they're going to spend. And whatever they get, that's what the market really sustains. So meaning, even though we thought this property was worth 200, but they got 100, or we thought it was worth 100, but they got 200, lemaisa, because they did their due diligence, and they put out the achraza, they announced the property, therefore lemaisa, whatever they get for the property, even if I think, or the Yisomim think, that it's way under market, lemaisa, the sale stands according to everyone.
So in this situation, there is ona on karka?
Oh, so this Gemara is assuming that there is ona on karka, correct. Even though we already established, we don't paskin that way, but this mission is going to the karma tomorrow that there is. Although those who go ahead and hold that Inon Abba Karka will just say that this is referring dafka to metaltalin. That's how they answer up this sugya. But the simple idea is to go with the approach that the Yeshua Abba Karka. So the Gemara says the following: Yibaylu Shliach Kiman. So now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. So now what we have in front of us are two different models. We have the Almana model and the Beis Din model. So the Almana model is that if she undersells that property for any amount, what's the halacha? So michra batal. Remember, I'll say that was yesterday's sugya. She takes a field that's worth a mana and a dinar, and she sells it for a mana, michra batal. The sale is void. So that's the almana model. The Beis Din model, at least according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, is, as you see, the Beis Din model, according to everyone, is that they could undersell or oversell, and the sale still stands. It's just a question of what the ceiling on that is. So the Tanakhama will say up to a sixth. Reb Shimon Gamliel says any amount. So the shaila now is, who is a shaliach? Which model does an agent fit into? Is an agent like an almana, and therefore any amount will void the shlichus, will void the sale, or is he like a Beis Din, in which case, again, perhaps, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, any amount will not void the transaction, or according to the Tanakhama, some amount, but up to a sixth.
What would have a meaning that he would be like a Beis
Din? I'm sorry? What? Oh, so let's see. Rava Amar, let's see, Kuf. So Rav Nachman shliach kidayonin. So we said Rav said name Rav Nachman that a shliach is like a dayan, is like a Beis Din, not like a dayan, like Beis Din. Rav Shmuel bar Bistin Amar Rav Nachman Kalmana. So we'll say it's a machlokes about what Rav Nachman said. So Rav said Rav Nachman said that a shaliach is like a beis din. And Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna said that Rav Nachman said that the shliach is like an almana. So what's the pshat? Rav Amar Rav Nachman shliach kidayonin. So we'll say, why would you say that the shliach potentially is like a beis din? Ma dayonin lav lididohu af shliach nami lav lididohu. To which the Gemara answers, because just like the shaliach is not doing, I should say, just like the beis din is not doing anything for themselves, right? They're not acting on their own behalf. They're acting on behalf of another party. So too, again, the shaliach is also acting on behalf of another party. La'afuke amana de ledida. As opposed to an amana, who Rabbi Abbasai is acting on her own interests, is acting for her own interests, and therefore the ma'isa again, perhaps that's why she's treated differently. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Rav Nachman, ki amana. So we say Shmuel Bar Bisna and Rav Nachman that no, the shaliach is like an amana. How so? Ma amana yichida af shliach yochid. Just like the amana is a yochid, so too the shliach is a yochid. La afuke based in the rabbin ninu, to exclude a based in who is a group. So we'll say, so again, these are the two sides to say that shliach is like an almana, shliach is like a beis din. The hilchasa, what is the halacha? Shliach ka'almana. And I will say the bottom line is that a shliach is like an almana, and therefore for our purposes, if the shliach makes a mistake in undervaluing the property, what is the halacha? Michra batal, or machro batal, the sale is batal, the agency is batal, nothing's going. So we'll say, so why is this different? So now, what we've established over here, and I will say, for us, we know this already, because we established this in our previous sugya, that if a shaliach goes out and undersells property, lemaisa, again, the sale is batal. That's because, in essence, remember, what we've established is the shlichus itself is really batal, right? Because, again, remember, the shaliach can always say to the shaliach, I sent you to benefit me. I didn't send you to do anything detrimental to me. But yet, the Gemara says, but one second, what do we do with the following halacha? Shaliach, excuse me, Shlomi Hadisnan, Ha'omer the Shlucho, say Vitarum. So we'll say, let's say a man, I say to my agent, go out and separate Shuma for me. So we'll say, but here's the issue. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday. When it comes to taking tithes, there are three different levels. If you're generous, you take 1/40. If you're Benoni, kind of in the middle of the road, you take a 50th. And if you're cheap, you take a 60th. Now what happens? I tell my shaliach, go out and take truma for me. But what's the problem? I didn't tell him what. I didn't tell him how much. So what does he do? So the Braisa says, Torim kedas balabayis. He goes ahead and the shaliach kind of has the flexibility to take truma in accordance with what he thinks I would have done. Vim eino yodea daito shabalabayis. But let's say the shaliach does not know my giving patterns. Torim bebeinon is echad michamishim. So he goes ahead and he's torim. He takes truma as if I was kind of a middle of the roader. And he goes ahead and he separates 1/50. What happens? Pichis asara ohosif asara. Well, say, let's say he makes a mistake in doing 1/50. He goes and he does 1/40 or he does 1/60. So what's the halacha? Truma so truma. So the truma designation works. I will say, what do you see from there? You see from there that we just established before that a shaliach is like an almana, which means I will say what? Any mistake, right? Any mistake in undervaluing or overvaluing, by definition, will negate the transaction, just like an almana. Yet here we're seeing that that's not true. The shaliach went ahead and he separated a 40th. And I say, one second, you know what? I only go ahead and normally do a 50th. So let me say again, the separation is still good and the shlichos is still good. So you see from here that a shaliach does have the ability or does have some room to go ahead and try to establish what it is that the master wants, the shaliach wants. To which the keys are not comparable. Hasam kevandika tarim ba'ayin ro'a ve'ika de tarim ba'ayin yafa. Amrali lahachi amaraticha. So I will say, see, in the case of truma, the shliach says like this. Here's what we know, that anything in the realm between 1/40 and 1/60 is normative human behavior. All people fall into that range. So the shliach says, okay, I thought you were a 1/40 guy, and it turns out you're a 50th guy. But the point is, he's within the realm of reasonability. So ultimately, all that happened over there is that lamaisa, he was a little bit mistaken about what part of the spectrum, but he's still in the ballpark, right? He's still in the right spectrum. On the other hand of Al-Hacha, but Rabbi said in the other case, where ultimately, again, he's selling a piece of land, right? Rabbi said in the previous case we were speaking about, where the Maisa, a piece of land was sold for the wrong price of Al-Hacha, Ta'usu, but Rabbi said in the previous case, he mamish made a mistake. So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is describing over here is when the Shaliach made an objective mistake, That's when a mistake of any amount will negate the shlichus and void the transaction. But if ultimately, again, he's asked to kind of make a call about human behavior, and his call falls within the appropriate spectrum of human behavior, then lamais again, the shlichus stands. Amarlei lo yibari lecha lemiti, because that's when the shliach makes a mistake, the mishaliach could always say to him, listen, that's not why I appointed you to be my shaliach. I didn't appoint you to make mistakes. I appointed you to get the job done. You made a mistake. And therefore, lamais again, the shlichos is void. Amar afuna bar chanina, amar rav Nachman, halacha kedivrei chachamim, veles halacha kedivrei chachamim. So we'll say, so rav Huna said, bar chanina said, the rav Nachman, that the halacha falls a chum. Rabbi, what did the chum say in the Mishnah? The chachamim wanted to say that lamais, if the bezdin sells the property, and they make a mistake in the value of the property, either by overselling it by a sixth, or underselling it by a sixth, the sale is void. So now that's the chachamim. So Amar Rav Nachman, excuse me, Valeslei Rav Nachman Makoach Bezin Yafa. But I will say, one second, what about Rav Shimon Gamliel's claim in the Mishnah that if you start voiding the sales of Bezin, what's going to happen, Rav Osai? What's going to happen? You erode the authority of Bezin. So is Rav Nachman not concerned about Imkein Makoach Bezin Yafa? Vamar Rav Nachman, first wide line, Vamar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman said, name is Shmuel, Yusomim Shabbat Lachlok B'nichsei Avihen. Well, so listen to this. If orphans come to split up the estate of their father, Bezdin Ma'amidon Lahem Apotropis, Uborin Lahem Chilikaf. I suppose that this would be a case of where you have minor children. So if you have minor children, the father died, they have to split up the estate. Now they're kids. So what do? Bezdin appoints for each of them an apotropis. Apotropis literally means like an executor or a guardian. So the apotropis, each yasam has its own apotropis, right? Or I should say, there are different cases. You could have a situation where each yasam has its own apotropis, and each apotropis goes ahead and chooses the land that they feel is right for the yasam. So higdilu, when the yasamim grow up, yicholim limchos. Rabbi said they can object. They can object to the piece of land that was chosen for them by their apotropis. Rav Nachman di de amar, Higdilu ein yecholim limchos. But Rabbi Yosef Nachman is on record as saying, no, when they grow up, they cannot object. You know why they can't object? Because imkein makoach bezin yafa. Because what does Rabbi Nachman say? No, you can't object. You get what you get, right? As the famous adage goes, you get what you get and you don't get upset. I think that's, there must be a Mamar Chazal somewhere, right? Right. So the idea over here is, they say that what? They say, look, you have, there was based in administer this division of the estate. There's no going back over here. So I'll say, so which one is it? So he just said Rav Nachman saying that Allah Chafaz Chachamim, which means that you could void a Maisa based in when there's a mistake of a sixth, which seems to indicate that we do not worry about Imkein Makoach based in Yafah. And yet here Rav Nachman saying that when the Yisomim grow up and they say, hey, I don't like that piece of land, or that's not the right piece of land for me, that Lamais again, they can't renege because Imkein Makoach Bezin Yafes. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Hadito, Hadiloto. We'll say, so to which the Gemara says a fundamental distinction. In the Mishnah, Bezdin made a mistake. So when Bezdin makes a mistake, Rav Nachman says, Allah Chavaz Chachamim, that mistake, if it's of great enough degree, will void the transaction. By the Yisomim case over here, where they grow up and the Yisom doesn't like the property that he got, the apotropis didn't make a mistake. So I'll say that's the case. If the apotropis didn't make a mistake, so then why would the Yosom have the ability to void the division? To which the Gemara says, Beruchos. What's the Yosom's issue? The Yosom doesn't like the direction in which he received his portion. Because I'll say now that he's an adult, if you look at Rashi, it says, Beruchos, Tovli Lito Chelki B'Mizrach, So let's say again, the Yosem grows up and he says, listen, I have another piece of property that I inherited from my mother's side of the family on the eastern side. You gave me a field from my father on the western side. That's not good for me. I'd rather have contiguous fields. Or if not contiguous fields, at least I want all of my fields in the same direction. That's where Rav Nachman says, look, you can't void the transaction because Imkein Makoach Bezin Yafa. So what's coming out over here, the Gemara is suggesting, is that Lamaisa, when does Rav Nachman say Imkein Makoach Bezin Yafa, and we will not void the transaction of Bezin? That's when there wasn't a mistake that was made. There's no mistake. Just the people who received them, the litigants, do not like what Bezdin did. Okay? And even if you have a legitimate claim as to why you don't like it, if a mistake was not made, you can't void a Maisa Bezdin. On the other hand, Rav Nachman holds that if there was an objective mistake past a certain threshold, like, oh no, more than a sixth, then the Maaseh says Rav Nachman, in that case, we can't void the decision of Beis Din. Ki Aser Rav Dimi Amar, Maaseh Va'aser Rabbi Kedivei Chachamim. Let's listen to this. So Rav Dimi came along and said that one time an episode like this came up. The Gemara doesn't tell us what the episode was, but there was an episode like this that came up, which apparently means that Beis Din went ahead and oversold property or undersold property by over or under a sixth. I should say over a sixth. Va'asa Rabbi Kedivrei Chachamim, and Rabbi went ahead and voided the Maaseh of Beis Din in accordance with the Chachamim. Amar lefan of Parta ben Osher ben Lazar ben Parta ben Osher Parta Agadol. So they said to Rebbe, Im king ma koach Beis Din Yofa. If that's the case, Rebbe, that you're going to void the transaction of Beis Din, then what good is Beis Din? The hechzir Rebbe es hamaisa. And Rebbe retracted his ruling. So let's say, so apparently what happened is, just to keep it simple, let's assume Beis Din sold off land for less than a sixth. I should say they undervalued it by more than a sixth. Rebbe came along and said, oh, the sale is bottle. So they confronted Rebbe, Im kein ma koach Beis Din Yofa. Rebbe said, you're right. And Rebbe reversed his ruling. In other words, he reinstated the psak of Beis Din, even though they had undervalued the property by over a sixth. I'm sorry? So good, that we mentioned that before. That is correct. That in these cases, again, even when we say the Maaseh Beis Din remains, so the Dayanim themselves would still have personal liability. So Rav Dimi Masnihochi, Rav Dimi Rabosa had a different version of this. Rav Safra Masnihochi, excuse me, so Rav Dimi Masnihochi, Rav Dimi's version was as we just said. Rav Safra Masnihochi, Rav Safra had a little bit of a different version. What was Rav Safra's version? So he says, Maaseh Ubikesh Rabbi La'asos Kedivrei Chachamim. We'll say in this version, in Rav Safra's version, is that this case came before Rebbe, meaning same case, Rav Osai, Beis Din undervalued a property by more than a sixth. So this issue came up in front of Rebbe, and what happened? Amar lefanav, and Rebbe was going to void the act of Beis Din. What happened? Amar lefanav parta beno shor belozer ben parta ben beno shor parta agadol, im kein makoach Beis Din yofa. So they confronted Rebbe, how can you even entertain the idea of voiding the transaction? Because after all, if you do that, im kei makoach Beis Din Yofa, lo as Rebbe es hamaisa. And Rebbe did not go ahead and void the psak of Beis Din. So both say, you hear the distinction between the two versions. In Rav Dimi's version, Rebbe actually voided the psak of Beis Din. Then when confronted with im kei makoach Beis Din Yofa, retracted his ruling and reinstated the psak of Beis Din. That's Rav Dimi's version. In Rav Safra's version, Rebbe was going to void the psak of Beis Din, but what? But then stopped, but then did not do that. Did not do that after the, and what, because he was confronted, and then he changed his mind, meaning he decided not to go forward with it. So in the first version, he actually voided and then retracted. In second version, he was ready to void, but when confronted about im kei makoach Beis Din Yofa, backed off from that. So the Gemara says, so what's the machlokes between the two different versions? Leyu b'hakam iflagi. Perhaps this is what they're arguing about. Mar savar ta'abidvar mishnah. Choser. So we'll say perhaps one opinion holds that lemaisa what? That if everything depends on the mistake that Beis Din made. We'll say ta'abidvar mishnah means there are different types of mistakes that a Beis Din could make. Sometimes a Beis Din makes a mistake in an explicit ruling. That's called Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah. An explicit, like something that's written in the Mishnah, explicit halacha. So one, perhaps they're following like this. Mar Safar, one opinion holds Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah Chozer. That if Beis Din makes a mistake in an explicit ruling, that's what? That the ruling is automatically voided. Umar Safar Eino Chozer. And the other opinion holds that, no, the ruling is not voided. Again, on both sides, as was just mentioned before, even if the ruling is not voided, the Dayanim will still be personally liable to the litigants that they wronged. But Lamaise, again, the Psak Beis Din stands, to which the Gemara says, lo, Dechuli Alma Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah, Choser. Now again, so if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi says, Leim B'hakam Infligi, Rav Dimi Rav Safra, Rav Dimi Savar Dayan HaTa'a B'dvar Mishnah, Shalo Asa K'mishnah Choser,
So
So Rav Safra she'ino shone asa ve'echzer savar im asa lo haya yachol achzer. So we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting is in Rav Dimi holds that when Bezin makes a mistake about an explicit ruling, then what? Like this case over here, then lemaisa the ruling is automatically voided. That's the halacha. On the other hand, Rav Safra holds that no, that lemaisa even if they make a mistake in an explicit ruling, the ruling itself remains, but the dayanim are going to be personally liable. To which the Gemara says, no. Lo duchuli al tabad var mishnah chozer. We both say, no, that's not the case. Everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that at the end of the day, if the dayanim, if the judges, make a mistake in an explicit ruling, everyone agrees that in such a situation like that, the verdict of the Beis Din is voided. But there's a simpler machlok, as I will say, Umar savar hachi hava maisa, Umar savar hachi hava maisa. We both say, this is very interesting. You know how sometimes you look a little too hard for like a deeper meaning in something. So the Gemara was trying to figure out, you know, what is the deeper machlokis over here between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra, to which the Gemara answers, oh, by the way, there's no deeper meaning. They just actually have a dispute as to how the story unfolded. So they're not arguing on anything material. They just, one says the story happened like this, so one says that Rebbe actually voided the decision of Beis Din, and the other has the other version of the story is that Rebbe was going to void the verdict of Beis Din. But they're actually not arguing about anything material. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Yosef, Armalta Dizabina, Achrayas Asmi. We'll say the last two lines of Kuf Amar Alf. This is an interesting case. If an Amana sold off an Abbas, we've already established that an Amana, a widow, if she wants to collect her ksuva, or for that matter, if she wants to collect her mezonos, right, her food, her, which she is entitled to from the estate, so she is permitted to sell off estate property. And I will say, remember, we've also already established that who does she represent in that sale? Who does she represent? The Esomim, the orphans. Which now, Rav Yosef says, the logical extension of that, Rav Yosef, is if she makes the sale ba'achrayas. She makes the sale a guarantee, thank you. She sells the land with a guarantee, which means Rav Yosef, what? That she tells the buyer, should anything happen to this land, I will make you whole. Now, I, in this case, really means who? The Yisomim, because since she is acting on behalf of the Yisomim, therefore, if she sells with Achrayus with a guarantee, that guarantee is upon the Yisomim. However, again, Ubeizdin Dizamin Rabbos, so what happens if Beizdin sells off property for the estate? For example, again, Rabbos, so Rashi points out, Beizdin sells off property in order to go ahead and give mezonos to the wife and to the daughters. So what's the halacha in such a situation? Ayasmi, again, the responsibility rests on the orphan. So the guarantee, the land, the sale is backed or guaranteed by the Yisomim. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Almana lo etzricha le. So we'll say, so the fact that the Almana, where she sells with Achrayas, that responsibility is on the Yisomim, that's obvious. That's obvious. Because Rabbosai, it's clear that she's acting in the capacity as their shalach. They have a responsibility towards her. Therefore, she's selling the land on their behalf. Ki itztrichlei, when do we need this statement for? Beidina. To teach us that Rabbosai, when Beis Din sells land, that is what? And they sell it with a guarantee, with a achrayis, that achrayis is upon who? That achrayis is upon the Yisomim. Why? Ma'adatim, what would I thought? Amud Beis, kol dizamin meidina, adai telamefek lekolohu dizavin. So we'll say, I might have thought that when someone goes ahead and purchases property from a sale of Beis Din, I might have thought that Lamaisa, they buy it without Achrayas. They waive all Achrayas. I will say, now why would someone waive all Achrayas? Because since when you go ahead and you buy a field from Beis Din, there's a Hachrosa. There is an announcement. Look at Rashi. Called the Zabin Beidina Adaita Dinafik like Kala Zabin. Anyone who buys from Beis Din does so with the intention that a call, that a voice went out, or that the word went out about the sale. Look at Rashi. The Fishin Mochin Bahakraza, Ubatuach Alokech, Sheidu Hoyale Asikin, Hoyu Yotzin Uma Aaron Hilchoch, Shalom Bahakrais Lokech. So I'll say, I would have thought that Lemaisa, any buyer from Beis Din by definition, waives his rights for a guarantee. Why would you waive rights for a guarantee? Because I will say, since anything sold by Beis Din requires a 30-day announcement period, therefore, if somebody had a claim against this land, what would have happened? They would have come forward. The fact that no one came forward after a 30-day announcement period would indicate to us what? That the land has title that's free and clear. Once it's free and clear, I, the purchaser, I don't need any achrayas, I'm fine. Kamash malan that no. Even in such a case, the buyer is going to want achray, is going to want responsibility or a guarantee. And who does that guarantee devolve upon? It devolves upon the Yisomim. Rav Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say, remember again, Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah, he argued with the Chacham. So the Chacham say, if Beis Din sells off the property and they undervalue it or overvalue it by a sixth, by more than a sixth, so then Lamaisa, the transaction is void. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, not true. Even if it's over a sixth, Lamaisa, the transaction still stands because Imkein Makoach Beis Din Yafa. You can't start voiding the transactions of Beis Din, because if you can void the transaction of Beis Din, then what? Then what good is Beis Din? So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Va'ad kama. The Rabbi said, so how much can Beis Din oversell or undersell according to Rav Shimon and still maintain transactional integrity? Thank you. Transactional integrity. So let's say, Samini, because at some point in time, if they made such a gross mistake, if there was such gross negligence, at some point in time, you have to say that the transaction is void. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, when do you get to that threshold that negates transactional integrity? Vad kama. Ad palga. So we'll say, if they make a 50% error. So if they go out and they literally oversell or undersell it by half the value of the land, then Lamai said, that's already going to border on gross negligence, and that allows you to go ahead and void the transaction. Tain Lamihachi, a rice that supports this. Arab Shem Lamia, Beis Din, Shemachru Shava Masayim Bimana. If Beis Din sold an item or property that was worth 100 for 200, I should say 200 for 100, or shave mana b'masayim, or 100 for 200, michran kayim, ultimately their sale is valid. And I'll say, I remember again, what the Gemara is really saying is it has to be more than 50%. So if it's exactly 50%, the sale stands. More than 50%, ultimately, again, the sale will be voided. Amra meir m'shein rav Yosef, Beis Din Shemachru Shelo B'Hachraza. So we'll say another case. Let's say Beis Din sold property without proper analysis. So remember, we'll say, we've established that in order for Beis Din to sell property, they have to announce it for 30 days prior to the sale. That does two things, by the way. Number one, what that does is it gives everyone a chance to clear up any type of title issues. That's number one. Number two, what it also does is it allows for the Beis Din, ultimately for the Yisomim, to get the best price. As opposed to if you just do like a fire sale and just say we're selling it now, you might not get the best price, but 30 days, that'll drive up the market. So the Gemara says, let's say Beis Din sold the property without hachraza, without proper announcement. So what's the halacha? Na'asu kimisha ta'u b'dvar mishta. But listen to this. That is the equivalent of Beis Din making a mistake regarding an explicit ruling in the Mishnah. And Rabbi will say, what did we establish? If Beis Din makes a mistake in the explicit ruling in the Mishnah, so what's the halacha? Right? The psak is voided. And therefore, the chozrin. And therefore, again, you have the ability to void or to retract the ruling. So the Gemara says, Nasu, what do you mean it's like they made a mistake in the explicit ruling in the Mishnah? Vadai to. I will say, you know, when you make a statement of, it's like they made a mistake. So it's like they made a mistake sounds like what? It's not really a mistake, but it's kind of like a mistake. So what do you mean it's like a mistake? If they sell property without proper announcement beforehand, that's not like making a mistake. That is making a mistake regarding an explicit ruling. This not, because we'll say we learned, Shum ha'yisomim, shloshim yom. The Tavos say, if you want to go ahead and you're selling off property for yisomim, for orphans, so you have to go ahead and allow for 30 days of announcement prior to the sale of the property in order to get the proper valuation. Vishum hekdish, well, this is actually very interesting. If you want to go ahead, if the Rashi says, Gizbar hamokher karka shal hekdish, if the Beis Din, you know, sometimes the Beis HaMikdash owned properties that they wanted to sell off, they wanted money. So what happened? So they would take it to auction, and the Gizbar was like the temple CFO, right, the treasurer. So he would go ahead, it would be his responsibility to go ahead and sell off properties. So what would he do? He'd take it to auction. Both listen to this. For hekdish, you had to give it 60 days. You had to announce it for 2 months prior to selling it. What's the logic? The logic is by hekdish, you want to make sure you get the best price. Now, I say, why don't you say 60 days to the Yisomim also? Remember, I will say, the Yisomim may need that money a lot faster than the Beis HaMikdash does. The Beis HaMikdash was a pretty financially solid organization. Therefore, they have the luxury of allowing it to sit on the market for 60 days. Umachrizin babokir ba'erev. And we go ahead and we announce it every morning and every evening, meaning they publicize it in the morning and the evenings. So we'll say the idea over here is you see that there's an explicit halacha that when you're selling off property, you have to do it for 30, you have to make achraz for 30 days. So if Beis Din sells it off without making achraz, without making the announcement, then they're ta'a b'dvar mishnah. They're making a mistake regarding an explicit ruling. And if you make a mistake regarding an explicit ruling, what's the halacha? The psak of Beis Din is voided. Imeahi, well, the Gemara says, well, one second, if you're just bringing a raya from here, Hava Amina Hani Mili Shliach, I would have thought that this halacha of having to go ahead and announce it beforehand is only if a shaliach is selling it off. Ava Beis Din Lo. But I might have thought that Beis Din perhaps does not require hachraza, does not require an announcement prior to selling off the property. Therefore, Kamashon, that is not the case. Therefore, Kamashon, that even Beis Din requires a hachraza, even Beis Din requires an announcement. And therefore, I'm also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, maybe this Mishnah that tells me that you have to be machrez, that you have to go ahead and announce property before you sell it, only teaches me about a shaliach. Doesn't teach me about Beis Din. Therefore, again, although we know Beis Din is supposed to do it, it's not what? It's not an explicit ruling. So because it's not an explicit ruling, if Beis Din makes a mistake and sells it without announcing it, what did the Braisa say? It's ki'ilu. It's as if they made a mistake with Dvar Mishnah. Did they make a mistake with an explicit Dvar Mishnah? Did they make a mistake with Dvar Mishnah? Did they make a mistake with an explicit Dvar Mishnah, an explicit ruling? The answer is no. Why? Because it's not explicit when it comes to Beis Din. But the Braisa says it's as if they made a mistake with an explicit ruling because they should have known better. Right? Even though it's not explicit in the Mishnah that it applies to Beis Din, they should have known that it applies to Beis Din. And therefore, again, there's the ability to void that transaction. Esveit Rav Ashi la'amemar. So Rav Ashi is the kasha ta'amemar. Shum hadayonim shepichasu shesus ahosiru shesus. So we'll say if the judges went ahead and evaluated a property, and they went ahead and they either overvaluated it by, or I should say they undervalued it by more than a sixth, or they overvalued it by more than a sixth. What's the halacha? Michran batal. The sale is void. Ha shava b'shava. Ha shava b'shava. But Rabbi say if they went ahead and they sold it for the appropriate amount, shava b'shava, michran kayim. Meaning the only time we get into avoiding of the sale is when they go ahead and either they overvalue it by more than a sixth or undervalue by more than a sixth. But if they sold it at the right price, then ultimately the sale is valid. So the Gemara says, my love, the lo achrus, are we not talking about a case where what? There was no announcement made. There was no announcement made about the sale. And therefore you see from over here that even without an announcement, lamaisa, the sale is valid. Lo bid achrus. No, the case over here is where what? Where they did announce it, they made the proper announcements prior to the sale. I hami the sefer b'de achros avi, reisha b'de lo achros. But Rabbi say, if that's the case, if the end of the Mishnah, the last case, is talking about a case where there was a achros, there was an announcement, by definition that must mean that the first case is talking about there was no announcement. Now, how do we know that the sefer is talking about a case where there was an announcement? The tani sefer, im asu igeres bikores. Remember Rabbi say, how did the Mishnah end? That if the Beis Din made an igeres bikores, remember what was an igeres bikores? This was a sale. This was a hachraza. If they made an announcement about the sale, then afilu makra shava mana b'masayim, oh shava masayim b'mana mechran kayim. Then what did the Mishnah say? That even if they sold the 100 mana field for 200, or 200 mana field for 100, what's that halacha? The sale stands. Why? Because they went ahead and they made a hachraza. They announced it. So if the seifa, the last part of the Mishnah is dealing with the case of where they announced it, it must be that the first part of the Mishnah is not dealing with the case of where they announced it. Elali olam b'dilo achros. Therefore, the first part of the Mishnah must be dealing with what? Where they did not properly announce it. B'lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan b'dvarim she'machrizin aleihem. Kan b'dvarim she'in machrizin aleihem. There's the most, interestingly enough, there are certain things that you announce before you sell them, and certain things that you do not announce before you sell them. In other words, certain things that you publicize that you are selling them before you sell them, and other things that you do not publicize that you are selling before you sell them. So interesting, just how the Gemara brings up these ideas. So these are the things that you do not announce before you sell them. Ha'avadin, slaves, metaltalin, movable property, shtaros, and documents. So meaning loan documents. Let's say I have money that's owed to me, I want to sell a loan to someone else. So the Gemara says, why not? Avadim taimamai. Why don't we announce the sale of avadim, of servants? Shema yishmu v'yivrachu. Because we're concerned that what happens to Mosai, if the servant knows that he's getting sold, what's going to happen? He's going to run away. Which makes sense. He's going to run away. Metaltalin ushtaros. So we don't announce the sale of metaltalin ushtaros. Why not? Shema yignivu. Because maybe they'll get stolen. Mosai, in other words, remember, what used to happen when you announced the sale is essentially you would invite the public to come see the item, right? So with a field, that's fine. But lemaisa, again, with movable property, with shtaros, the concern is what? If you're inviting the public to come in, what's going to end up happening? They could potentially steal your stuff. and last, and start Shemini Gnivu. Vibai Seima. So Rabbi says, so that's one. So one possibility, therefore, is that even if you hold that Basin has to do Achraz, that has to do an announcement prior to going out and selling a property, that doesn't apply for everything. There are certain things that are subject to Achraza, certain things that are not. Vibai Seima. The other possibility is, Kan Bishar Shemachrizin, Kan Bishar Shein Machrizin. That Rabbi says, the other possibility is that there are times in which you go ahead and you do the announcement, and there are times that you do not. What does that mean? Dami Nardoi, Lekarga Lemazoni Lekvura, Mizabninon Beloach as Beloach Rasta. So, for example, the Nardoins used to say that Rabbi said, Lekarga means for taxes. For taxes, for food, and for burial costs, you do not have to announce to sell a property. Rabbi said that when you have immediate expenses, those immediate expenses can be satisfied without going through the 30-day announcement period. Since you need the money immediately for taxes, you need the money immediately for food, you need the money immediately to bury, therefore you could sell off properties even without any prior announcement. Same with the other possibility is, Kan b'makom shemachrizin, kan b'makom shein machrizin. They will say, interestingly enough, the other possibility is that they didn't even, the concept of announcing the sale prior to the sale was not done in every single locale. Certain places did it, certain places didn't do it. For example, the Amar Rav Nachman, the Olam lo asu igaris bikaris b'narda. So we'll say, interestingly enough, like Rav Nachman says, because for example, in Narda, they never used to go ahead and announce the sale, even of real property, for 30 days prior to the sale. Why not? Savar mina mishun debiki b'shuma. Rabbi said, now it sounds like because in Narda, people were very knowledgeable about real values. So because people were knowledgeable about real values, they didn't need 30 days to go ahead and establish what the market was going to give. It was known from the beginning. Others explain that in Narda, the reason they did not go ahead and announce the sales of property prior to going ahead and selling it is why Rabbi Osai, because people would be reticent to buy such property. Why Rabbi Osai? Because listen to this. You know, you have to think about it like this. If you're buying property that's being sold off by the estate, so in Arda, they used to call people like that, like vultures. Literally what it means, little translation is, people who eat announced properties. Now, Rabbi Osai, that here you are, you're going to auction, well, not really auction, but you're going to buy properties that Beis Din is putting on sale. Why is Beis Din often putting properties on sale? Because there's some type of duress. Oh, so you're taking advantage of the duress of others. So in Arda, that's they used to call people who would go ahead and buy properties sold by Beis Din. So that's very nice, except for one problem, which is if no one buys those properties, then what? Then the estate can't get the money that it needs. Therefore, it appears that in Arda, they kept the sales quiet. They didn't announce it in order to encourage communal participation in those sales. It's interesting. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Metalin shal yisom shaman oso umochrin oso la'altar. So Rav Yehuda said, Mishmuel, that I will say, when it comes to metalin, when it comes to movable property of the estate that we need to sell off, we evaluate it and we sell it immediately, meaning there is no need for any type of achraza, there is no need for any type of prior announcement. Rav Chista Amar Avini, mochrin oso l'shukim. So Rabbi said, "Rav Chisa, Rav Avimi, no, we don't sell it off immediately. Rather, we wait for the shukin, we wait for the market day." Rabbi said, because again, remember, on the market day, there are more people around. Because there are more people around, you'll get a better price. Velo pligi, they're not really arguing. Had the mikrav shuka, had the mirchak shuka. Rabbi said, they're not really arguing. Rather, they both agree that you'll go ahead and what? They'll both agree that you'll go ahead and sell it in the shuk as long as what? The marketplace day is approaching soon. So as long as the market day is soon and we can wait to get the money until then, that's fine. But if you can't wait to get the money until the market day, then what? Then sell it off now without any prior announcement. Rav Kahana Hava Biyade Shikra Durav Misharshe Bar Chilkoi. It's interesting. Bar Chilkoi Yasma. So we'll say Rav Kahana had in his hands some of the beer of Rav Misharshe Bar Chilkoi was a Yasum. So he had the Yasum's beer. He had the Yasum's beer in his hands. So what did he do? Shia ad rigla. So we'll say. So apparently now the Yasum who was in my, even though he calls him Rav Misharshia, he wasn't Rav Misharshia at the time that he was a Yasum, right? He was a boy. So what happened? Rav Kahana waited to sell off the beer until the regal, until Yom Tov. Why? Amar afapi denafa be itzisa maisi zuza harifa. Because we'll say even though there'll be some spoilage of the beer between now and Yom Tov, Rabbi, so I remember Yom Tov, there was an influx of people into Yerushalayim, which means I'm going to have a much easier time selling the beer and getting more money for the beer. So he made a call that even though there's going to be some spoilage, nevertheless, again, let's wait because we'll get a better price and we'll get it faster. Ravina hava biyade, chamra de ravina zute yasma, bar ach sehava. So we'll say Ravina had in his hand some of the wine that belonged to his nephew who was a yasum. His nephew was Ravina Zuta. What happened? So lidide nami chamra hava, kamasikle, lesichra. So we'll say, so Ravina had his own wine. Now his wine he was going to take to the city of Sichra in order to sell it off. What happened? Asale kamid Ravashi amrle mahula at muye bahadon. Rabbi said, now this is a fascinating shayla. So Rav Asi is taking his own wine by boat to Sichra to go out and sell it off. So Ravina went to Ravashi and asked him the following shayla. So I have my wine that I'm taking to Sichra to sell off because I'm going to get the best price in Sichra. Can I take my nephew's wine with me on the boat as well? Rabbi said, now what was he really asking? If I take the wine on the boat, there's always the possibility that what? There's always a possibility that what? That the boat may capsize and I may lose the wine. So for myself, I'm willing to assume that risk. Am I permitted to assume that risk for the property of the Yisom or not? I will say, you understand, this is a major shayla, because I'll tell you where this comes up all the time. This comes up with, let's say, when organizations that have tzedakah funds, there are major halachic shas with how aggressive they are permitted to be in their financial investments, right? I get a donation. I want to grow that donation for my organization, and I want to be really aggressive. But if I'm aggressive, I could have incredible return, but what? I could also lose everything. So it's a halachic shilas. Literally, these are contemporary shilas about how aggressive you could be, what kind of financial instruments can you invest in if you are dealing with ma'o tzedakah. So that's pretty much what Ravina is asking over here. So what Ravina is saying is, Lamaisa, I'm taking my wine to Sichra. And I understand there's an element of risk involved in that because the boat could capsize and I could lose my wine. Can I take my nephew's wine with me? Or do we say, no, that's property of Yisomim. You can't assume that risk. Sell it off over here and what? Sell it off over here. And even if you make it less money, but at least it's secure. Fascinating Shaila. Mr. Schoenfeld, right? Fascinating. Hey, you came on a good day. So the Gemara says the following. So Amrlei, Malatmu, Amrlei, Zeal. Lo adif mididach. So we'll say it's quite interesting. So Rav Ashi Paskin, take the wine with you. In other words, we'll say lo adif mididach means it's no better than your wine. In other words, we'll say it's very interesting. What Rav Ashi was saying to Ravina is, whatever level of risk you feel is acceptable to you, that's the same level of risk that you are permitted to also take for the property of the Yisomim. And I will say, now that, of course, that does not give the investor carte blanche because there are certain cutoffs with the amount of risk. But essentially what Rav Ashi was saying was, whatever is considered to be a normal amount of risk in order to go ahead and capitalize on your return, whatever normal amount of risk you would take for yourself, that's the amount of risk you're able to take for the Yisomim as well. I must say we'll have to stop over here by the Mishnah. Mirat Hashem will continue here tomorrow.